Baseball insider Andy Carbone is joining us. Andy, welcome. Welcome to summer.
Yes, Bill, it definitely is. Things heating up out there weather-wise, and on occasion the Red Sox seem to heat up, but then all of a sudden it feels like it's winter and they get very cold. But they're on a hot streak right now, if you want to call it that.
All right, Andy. So, yeah, they picked up a W last night. Let's start right there.
Yes, they did. They've won four of their last five games. Can you believe it? Last night, Brian Bello allowed two runs over seven innings, lead the Sox to a 4-2 win over the Rangers. Justin Turner at the big bat offensively, going 2-for-4, drove in a pair of runs. Tonight, Sox and Rangers wrapping up this three-game series at 7-10 with Cutter Crawford on the mound. Then this weekend, the A's come to town for the final series before the All-Star break. Red Sox this morning finding themselves over 500 at 44-43, but they're still in last place in the AL East, 12 games behind the Rays. Sox also four games behind the Yankees for that last AL wildcard spot.
You know, the spot ahead of the last wild card spot seems to shift from week to week, doesn't it? I think, yeah. It's Yankees
it
now.
It certainly does. That last spot certainly does. It's been Astros, it's been Yankees, so it's been bouncing along, but the Red Sox can just only get so close.
All right, Andy. Let's since we last talked exactly 1 week ago, what's happened with this Red Sox team?
Well, last Thursday, the Marlins shut out the Red Sox 2-0, wrapping up a brief three-game homestand. Brian Bello started that one. Took a no-hitter into the eighth inning. Pitched very well, obviously. Sox now 2-13 versus National League teams at Fenway this season. They've been outscored by those teams by 30 runs. On Friday, Sox headed north of the border. They shut out the Blue Jays 5-0, snapping a season-high five-game losing streak. Justin Turner, Jaron Duran, and Masataka Yoshida hit home runs. James Paxton tossed 7 2/3 shutout innings, allowing only three hits. He struck out seven. The winning streak continued for the Sox on Saturday. They nipped the Jays 7-6. Rafael Devers, Justin Turner hitting home runs. Alex Verdugo throwing out the tying run at the plate to end the game. Cutter Crawford, a solid start. Two runs over 5 2/3 innings to get the win. On Sunday, the Red Sox completed the sweep of the Jays 5-4. Alex Verdugo broke a 4-4 tie to lead off the ninth with a home run. Jaron Duran went 5-for-5 in this game with four doubles. He scored three runs. Duran became the eighth player in Sox history to have four doubles in the game and just the 50th player in Major League Baseball history to do so. A little bit of a down note in this one. Starter Garrett Whitlock left the game after an inning of work due to elbow tightness. He has since been placed on the 15-day injured list. Sox were off on Monday. They came home on July 4th to play the Rangers and lost 6-2. Caleb Ort tagged with a loss. He allowed a couple runs on three hits over two-thirds of an inning of relief. Alex Verdugo and Justin Turner each drove in the Red Sox runs.
All right, Andy, the All-Star game fast approaching, but not with a lot of Red Sox representation here in 2023, right?
Certainly not. There's just going to be one lone member of the team at the moment. It's closer Kenley Jansen. That could change, though, if there are any more injuries to any American League players before Tuesday. But as of right now, Jansen is your lone representative.
Oh, man. All right, that's. I guess can't believe Devers isn't on it, but whatever, I guess, you know.
I mean, you could even have a case for Alex Verdugo or even Masataka Yoshida.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, the stars are not shining. It's all that fog we had this week, I guess. What other Red Sox player notes do you have? Because I think you have a few for us, right?
That we do. Pitcher James Paxton, he's named the American League Pitcher of the Month for June. He went 3-0 with a 1.74 ERA, 34 strikeouts, and 31 innings over five starts. And Chris Sale has been cleared to begin a throwing program after getting encouraging results from an MRI last week. Sox hope he can return in early August when he's first eligible to be activated from the 60-day injured list.
Well, if folks want to shutter inside with the air conditioning on this afternoon, what will they see on Nesson Plus at 1 p.m., Andy?
Well, I'll tell you this, Bill. They're definitely going to see a W. It's a game from July 6, 2006. First pitch at 1 o'clock. Sox route the Devil Rays 12-5 in St. Petersburg. David Ortiz leading the way with two home runs, six RBI, including a grand slam.
A W for wonderful, wonderful. Absolutely. All right.
Absolutely.
Andy, Major League Baseball news notes. You always have a lot of great stuff for us, and I'm thinking that this week would be no different. Tell me I'm wrong.
Well, I do my best, Phil. We'll start things off on the chase to 400 by Marlins infielder Luis Arraez. He went 1-for-5 last night against the Cardinals. His average has now dipped to .384. He was hovering at just about 400 when the Marlins came to Fenway last week, so he's in a little bit of a tailspin at the moment. Last Friday, the Angels' Shohei Ohtani hit his 30th home run of the season. It was his longest home run of the season, also Major League Baseball's longest home run of the season, 497 feet. Also on Friday, the For the first time in 114 games, the Pirates won a game in the ninth inning after being down by more than two runs. The Braves became the first team since the 1950 Red Sox to average seven runs a game and win 80% of their games in a month. In June, the Braves averaged seven runs a game, going 21-4.
Wow. Were the 50 Red Sox that good? Well, maybe they had a good month, huh? I mean,
Well, they had a good month. They were in the pennant chase for a while. They had obviously a great offense back in 1950. The pitching obviously suffered a little, and that sealed the Red Sox fate as the summer went on.
All right. Other notes, Sandy?
Well, we'll wrap things up talking about the All-Star break. The 93rd All-Star game can be played on Tuesday at T-Mobile Park in Seattle. The Braves, speaking of the Braves, they lead all teams with eight players selected to the National League All-Star team. The Rangers pace the American League with six players named. Dodgers pitcher Clayton Kershaw was named to his 10th All-Star game, and he headlines the NL pitching squad before he got injured. On the AL side, Yankees pitcher Gerrit Cole earned his sixth All-Star nod. And Kershaw won't be pitching in this game. He was placed on the 15-day injured list on Monday with left shoulder soreness. This season, Kershaw is 10-4 with a record and a 2.55 ERA. Some injury replacements for the All-Star game have been made. Mariners center fielder Julio Rodriguez replaces Astros outfielder Yordan Alvarez. Mariners pitcher George Kirby takes over for Rays pitcher Shea McClanahan. Rays shortstop Wander Franco fills in for Yankees outfielder Aaron Judge. And Astros outfielder Kyle Tucker will play in place of Angels outfielder Mike Trout over in the National League. Pirates closer David Bednar selected to replace Dodgers pitcher Clayton Kershaw. And speaking of Mike Trout, he's going to be out of the Angels lineup for at least the next 4 to 8 weeks after breaking the hemet bone in his hand.
All right. I did not even know you had a hemet bone in the hand, but...
That you do. You certainly do, and that seems to be an issue for Major League Baseball players at times with their swing, and sometimes that breaks.
All right. Well, that's not good. I hate when that happens.
Absolutely.
You know, Andy, I am struck by the fact that it seems like all these Red Sox pitchers are getting injured, and yet they seem to be hanging in there in the pitching. I mean, they're not getting blown out of games. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's definitely a different tune than some games we saw earlier in the season. The pitching has been better overall. You are correct about that, and even with the injuries. So it's a good sign, but I still see that this team is destined for a 500 record, if not a little below 500 by the time's all said and done. So over the next few weeks are going to be key for Sox management. What are they going to do before the trade deadline at the end of the month? Will they trade off veterans and try to replenish the farm system? Or they go out and try to add a piece or two and try to get to that final AL wildcard spot and see what happens in the postseason. So a lot to be happening between now and the end of this month.
Mr. Glass is half full, Andy. I wasn't trying to say the glass was half empty, rather. I wasn't trying to say it was half full with the way they've been pitching lately. But on the other hand, you're right. This is a 500 team. And what do you suggest? Go for a youth movement?
Absolutely. I would sell off any veteran that's not anchored to the table at this point. To me, your untouchables are obviously Rafael Devers and Brian Bayo. Other than that, I'd listen to offers on anybody at this point. Obviously, there's a lot of veterans on this team that can help a team for the stretch run. Your Justin Turner could help. Obviously, Nick Pivetta out of the bullpen could be a key addition. James Paxton could be a nice starter for someone in the second half of the season. Kike Hernandez, a good utility guy for a team to have. Adam Duvall, who came over this year as a power-hitting right-handed hitter for someone down the stretch. So there are a lot of options, including I'd even consider trading, even though he's young, Tristan Casas at first base. He might bring some interest to teams. So, Chaim Bloom could really reshape the organization with the right moves going forward. I don't think he should be adding any veterans for the stretch drive and lose any more prospects, that's for sure.
Yeah, makes sense. All right, Andy, you finished strong today, and we will talk again soon.
Looking forward to it as usual.
There he is, Baseball Insider Andy Carbone. I'm Bill Newell here on MSO NewsSports.com.